Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Good to be back with you yesterday. Sorry I missed you. Or today, sorry I missed you yesterday. Suns pre-draft camp, getting you ready for the NBA draft. A lot of good information coming up about that. Got some good articles up on sportscave.com, so you can kind of follow along. See what some of these young players are doing and see exactly what they're doing with the Phoenix Suns here locally. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. In fact, we're live today from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you're in the area, get down here. Get 10% off of any cigar you purchase. Let them know that PLR sent you here. You can also become a club member and get you a locker that backs up to a humidor and never, ever, ever worry about your sticks going bad. That good noise you hear in the background, that's us live at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Again, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take care of you with 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Boy, we've got a lot of topics to get into today, and a quick show. It always seems quick because we're always having a good time. I'm going to talk about the Eagles. They were invited, then they were disinvited to the White House. We also are going to get into a little bit of the NBA playoffs. The Capitals have taken 100% control of the Stanley Cup, so we're going to get into that as well. Which division is worse, the American League Central or the National League West? And what are the better teams, the top of the teams in the American League Central or the top of the teams in the National League West? Just a couple questions I want to get answered today. Our call-in number is 917-889-7828, 889-7828. Want to give a call, please do so on any one of those topics or anything you'd like to talk about. If you have a call online, welcome to the Cave Show. Thank you for waiting. We're always on the Carry Like You Law line. This is PLR. What are the folks you're speaking with today?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou. Welcome back.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Well, for starters, I think we can say, honestly, that the American League Central is by far, I think, the worst division so far. Only one team is, you know, above 500, and the rest are just, you know, down the basement.
I'm with you on that. I look at this, and I know the West, the Diamondbacks have played back down to the division. The Giants are starting to get healthy, so they're going to make some noise, obviously, when they're healthy. The Dodgers have a ton of money. The Padres are the Padres, and the Rockies, believe it or not, hitting is their problem. So then I'm like, okay, well, maybe that is the worst division. And then I look at the Cleveland Indians, who are barely above 500. You got a team in Detroit who's 29, only a couple games out. And the Twins as well. They're five games under 500. They're only 3.5 games out. So I just think that's a bad division. And
exactly.
I'm just wondering, are the Cleveland Indians just in first place of a bad division, or are they just a good team that's playing down to the rest of their division?
It's a bad team. It's a bad team in the in a horrible division. They're a decent team in a horrible division. I mean, at least they're above 500, so you know, at least it's credible for something.
What's crazy is, I've been on the bandwagon, and this is kind of off that topic a little bit. I've been on the bandwagon of the Houston Astros being the best team in baseball, despite what their record was saying. And somehow Seattle's doing it without their best player, and the casual fan probably couldn't name anyone else on that team right now.
Yeah.
So quite amazing. And even though the Red Sox are in first place, technically the Yankees are because they have fewer losses, but that's a whole different topic. Lou, I'm glad you're online with us today. so far this NHL playoffs, you've been right. Looks like you're going to be right again. The Capitals seem like
so
they've
far.
Taken complete control, and they just have too much talent for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, of course, there's also a few factors to consider, too, that it is tough to win, you know, four in a row, which is what the Caps had to do to win this. Yeah, at the same time, it's also hard to come back from down 3-1. So it's another thing. It's a couple of factors to consider. But Capitals have really stepped up their game, and, of course, Holtby's goaltending has been phenomenal.
It has been. I believe the exact saying is he's been standing on his head.
Which is dangerous, but...
For those of us with no balance, for sure, huh?
Right. If you have no balance, why are you doing playing hockey?
Good point.
No, good point. Yeah, but in all seriousness, you know, I mean, I think Vegas, you know, I think they're just too inexperienced as a team to get it, and Ovechkin, you know, this is his time. I mean, he's ready for it. And,
do you think it's...
They got good
he's just not
going to
be denied?
Hmm?
Is there, so Ovechkin this year, he's just not going to be denied?
No. Not this time.
Yeah, I agree.
Of course, you got to watch it with your troublemaking player, though.
Say that once again, Lou. You broke up when you said
your,
that.
Your troublemaking. Well, the Wilson. The you know, he keeps getting into trouble. And almost last night, there was I think it was another incident, but that was stopped. The Tom Wilson.
Yeah. You know what? He's. I guess he's paid to be a certain player. He's going to be that player no matter what.
Well, when did Tom Wilson suddenly become the Dennis Rodman of the NHL?
I don't know, but it seems like it's been pretty recently, and he seems to relish in that role.
I apologize for the comparisons, but, oh, boy. I mean, that's
no,
what came
that
to my
good...
mind. I mean, because we know how Rodman was during his day, and Wilson is, you know, kind of like being the hockey version of it now.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. You know what? We were saying the same thing now in cross sports in the NBA. Draymond Green has become a Dennis Rodman type irritable, a person that's there to irritate you.
That's true. I mean, you know, it's ever since game five of the West of the NBA Finals in 2015, he hasn't been the same since. 2016, excuse me.
No, but I will always say this, and I will say it again, and I will continue to say it. If a grown man gets on the back of your neck and his private, sweaty private parts are sitting on the back of your neck, I am going to do everything in my power to get him off me as well.
Yeah.
So on that one, I don't blame him for it. There's no way I'm going to allow that to happen.
No, of course not. Kind of creepy when you think about it like that, though.
It changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough having a bug crawling up you. You gotta have a, you know, you gotta
and
have Godzilla, six before Godzilla breathing down you? No thanks.
Yeah, well, I cleaned that up a whole lot because that's not usually how I describe it.
Lucky you, I would have. Ah!
Stick with sweaty private parts.
Guy humor.
So. Hang on for me 1 second. We do have another caller calling in. I do believe this is my man here, the one, the only, Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy. Tony, what's happening?
The hell did I just walk into?
Basically, we were saying how I don't fault Draymond Green for moving and dislodging LeBron James off the back of his neck and 2015-16.
Oh, him of all people who likes to crank kick other people's brazil. He doesn't like when it happens to him, huh?
I would rather, and this conversation is going on a terrible spin right now, but I would rather be kicked there than to have another grown man's sweaty private parts resting on the back of my neck. So... And this conversation, Tony and Lou has gone in a direction I just couldn't imagine it going in right now.
We gotta find something about the finals to talk about, right? So why not there? Cover every nook and cranny while we're at it.
Right.
We got two games left.
At least.
So
I don't see a sweep in this at all. I mean, come on, really?
No, I'm with you. I don't agree that this will be a sweep. I think it'll go five. I honestly think Cleveland is going to win the next game, and even though I am not condoning gambling because I don't have a contract with any bet makers, but if I were a betting man, I would bet Cleveland to win this game. Golden State's going
as
a five-point favorite. I think Cleveland comes back home. They get some home cooking. They get some home calls. Everything will seem to go their way. The role players will play better at home than they did in Oakland. And I honestly think that this is the game that Cleveland gets. And then they turn around and we'll lose games 4 and 5.
Is this the only sport where like guys go from playing like bums to playing like decent players, swing so dramatically depending on where they're playing?
Yes, because role players, for whatever reason, their games do not always transfer, especially on the offensive end. That's what make guys like Andre Iguodala so good, and he'll play in game 3 because he's a great defender. And the defense travels no matter what. And then guys like Livingston, generally because he shoots mid-range shots, his game should travel. But you're talking about Cleveland and three-pointers and Korver and JR, who's obviously in his own world right now. Their games have struggled transferring. So it's different when you got the crowd behind you and they're yelling and the proximity to the court is really close.
Mm-hmm.
I just see their role players playing a lot better.
I mean, the entire championship season could be taken down over a hotel reservation.
Pretty much.
All these guys
are
amazing
NBA
players. They go to the Hilton, it's over. They're powerless.
Yep. Sleep in your own bed, everything is great. And that's the difference. And that's why I think Golden State, one of the many reasons I think Golden State is going to win, because LeBron's game is going to travel no matter what. Kevin Love's game is Kevin Love's game. I think it's funny how when they win, all you hear is Kevin Love did what he was supposed to do, and they won. When Kevin Love has a subpar game, it's always Kevin Love's fault. But the Golden State Warriors, on the other hand, they have a little bit less pressure on their stars because one of their stars can be off, because they still have other stars to pick up the slack. But if there's one thing that we've learned in this series, and it's been obvious to me for a long time, but I'm glad it's becoming obvious to everyone else, as Steph Curry goes, the Golden State Warriors go. And it's really just that simple. If he's on, he makes life so much easier for everybody else. And we're seeing that more and more this playoffs.
He's the best scorer in history. He's the only person that can make routine mid-range, like mid-court shots with ease. If he's off the court, that Golden State team is just an augmented OKC team, essentially.
They
look like
an
all-star team, but that's the guy that makes it good.
Very good point. Coming from someone who used to cover the OKC Thunder, on any given night, and I shouldn't say it like that, but generally, if Steph is out, no big deal. They'll still beat anybody, everybody. But when Steph is there, it becomes a lot easier for everyone. People aren't working so much because Steph automatically does things that other people don't do well. Steph chases down the ball for a shot. And by that I mean a lot of guys, when they give up the ball, your defender can almost rest for a second. But Steph follows the pass. So I know you guys have noticed this. When he throws the ball into the corner, he runs behind the ball and picks up almost a natural screen that's going to be there anyway, and he runs the ball down to the three, and he gets wide open shots like that. You guys can't think of anyone else in the NBA that does that. So those are things that he does that makes your life crazy, because now you have to concentrate on where he's at, and they never defend it. And when they do defend it, both men run to him, which leaves an easy passing lane for the guy that he just gave him the ball. So he just makes everyone's life easy. And I'm glad that he's getting that recognition, because let's be honest, guys, when Andre Iguodala won the MVP 3 years ago. Steph Curry averaged 27 points a game and actually should have been the MVP because Iguodala got an award for defending LeBron James, who averaged 29 points.
And he did get two MVPs. He's the first and only unanimous MVP.
I'm talking.
So
I'm talking.
To do with under
finals.
Oh, the finals.
I'm talking finals. Finals.
It's hard to give a finals MVP to a team that has like four all-stars on, like four superstars.
True, but at the time they didn't have four all-stars. They had Harrison Barnes, who was on the side of a milk carton that year.
Harrison Barnes.
And that was funny. I used to call the Mavericks the Pyrite State Warriors when they had Harrison Barnes and Bogut and Seth Curry on the team. Those are the days.
Hey, Lou, I have a quick question for you. I know you usually jet about now, but I have a quick question for you. And with what's going on, and I want to just pop back to hockey before we lose you. Can Vegas force a game six, or is this series over?
They can force a game six. I'm just hoping it's going to go the full seven. I mean, Vegas has fought hard all year, and to get this far, considering the expansion team, I don't think it's over quite yet. But they got to act like now, because right now it is now or never. So if they're going to do it, they got to do it right now.
I hear you.
Are we getting a fight?
Say that again?
Do you think we're going to get a fight? Like game seven between Tampa Bay and Washington, like one big fight for your life?
It's possible. I wouldn't place any bets on that, but it could happen.
That's the best thing about game seven.
Yeah.
That's the
of course,
best thing in sports.
Game sevens that have been lackluster, I mean, Vancouver and Boston, I mean, all the hype of that, and Boston just beat the living hell out of them in their own ice.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or a hype of Vancouver. Trying to fight back since 94 when they lost to my Rangers, and they just looked awful.
Yeah. I do want to touch on a couple of things before we get out of here, and I do want to get back to basketball a little bit in the draft. I do want to bring up the Miami Marlins just quickly, since Tony is our anchor coverage down there. And I'm going to do this soapbox real quick. I think it's a joke that the Eagles were invited and disinvited. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think for the next 2 years, I think if a team, obviously it's their choice, but if they want to go, I think they should. That team should call the White House and express interest to go. But I don't think just the flat-out invitations are a good idea, because teams, players, do not really care for who's in office. And I'm tired of hearing people say, you should just respect the office. We've never had this problem going back to Reagan or to Bush 1 or to Clinton or to Bush 2 or to Obama. And there's always been individuals that have not shown up, and they've not shown up quietly for whatever reason that they choose, and that's their individual right. But the office that you have respect for is a job that's being done. But if you do not respect the person that's in office, and this doesn't mean like or dislike, it just means fundamentally respect the person, and you choose not to go, But if we're going to have teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are basically not going to show up, the Golden State Warriors did not want to show up last year, from the coach to the star player to the second star player to the third star player, no one wanted to go. So I think that there should be no more invites. It should be a, hey, we won. Yeah. If you will have us, we'd like to come. Because if you don't, if everyone doesn't show up to show that they're in full support of the person that's sitting in the White House right now, their ego can't handle that, and they'll cancel it, and then you'll look like the person who looks bad. And I don't think it's fair for athletes to look bad, because I was reading some of the quotes, and there's an article up at thesportscave.com where Malcolm Jenkins said on more than one occasion, I don't want to go, but I'm not going to stand in the way of anybody else from the Eagles that want to go. I just don't feel this for me. Chris Long said basically the same thing. And all of a sudden we have a team that has been painted as being non-patriotic when not one person on that team knelt for the anthem last year, not one, but they're not patriotic. So if you're going to be painted in a bad light just because you don't want to go and hang with someone whose maybe character you don't feel is that strong or that epitomizes the office that they're holding, I don't think you should be painted in the corner as a bad guy. So teams, just stop going. If you want to go, you make the call. And then that way you can avoid that. Tony, what's going on with the Marlins before we come up against the clock?
We have this cliche of root for the laundry, and we're actually going, the Marlins are going to put that to the test this weekend by bringing back their teal jerseys. A lot of people don't like this team. This team is competing with the Reds for worse in the National League. But if they go back to 93 prices and they change the color, the uniforms to like the original teal pinstripes for a weekend, maybe that might bring it back some interest. More people will go to the games just to see those days. So it comes back at a innocent time when they were like the baseball's version of the Golden Knights, who was 5 years winning World Series before all the sellouts and all the political nonsense in that case occurred.
Have the Marlins just thought about keeping players that can play?
I think this time around, because they got a lot of debt because the last ownership was just hemorrhaging money, that they had to take out some contracts, and they still have a $90 million payroll, and top earners are just godforsaken awful. Like Chen was $80 million for over 5 years, and Prado was 40-3, and he can't get on the field for long enough. So right now they're just building, trying to like do what the Astros and the Cubs and the Royals have done, which rebuild their farm system, create that pipeline, and then when the time is right, go get some veterans and free agents that will put a contender on the field.
Makes sense.
But the first season is always bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think the difference is? Because they've done this three times now, I think that's why fans are kind of fed up. Because they won a World Series.
Oh, yeah, they've done it
three
times.
Yeah. Whereas the Cubs and the Astros, and I'm not a big fan of tanking, but the Cubs and the Astros only really technically did that once. The Marlins, it seems like every time they win, they turn around and do it. So I think that's what has the fans really fed up with them. But I will tell you, Tony, I covered them out here with the obviously with the D-backs. That's not a good team.
Yeah, that's great showing. Oh, no.
That's not a good team. With a couple minutes left, I want to just talk about the Suns real quick on some of the workouts that they've had. Okay, just so you guys know, and Ryan McDonough said it, and I don't know if everyone caught this because everyone is still doing this dueling debate who they should take. I think it's very obvious DeAndre Ayton is the person that they should draft. Luka Doncic, hell of a passer, not a hell of an athlete. That worries me down the line because basically then you got to use your number one pick to draft Tony, help me out. The kid that played for Minnesota, now he plays for Utah. Ricky Rubio. Would you use your number one pick for Ricky Rubio? No. So it's obvious.
No.
But one thing that Ryan McDonough, the obviously the GM and president of basketball, stated was the NBA no longer wants you to say who you're going to pick. And he said it very quickly in an interview, and I don't know who caught on or who didn't catch on, but – the NBA doesn't want that. The NBA doesn't want those days when Shaq was coming out that the number one team didn't hide that they were taking Shaq. When Tim Duncan was coming out, it was Boston was in a lottery with San Antonio flipping that coin to see who would draft Tim Duncan. Those days are over. The NBA wants their show to be their show, their draft to be their draft. And even though we may think in our minds we know who's the obvious number one pick, they do not want the team to show that. So they're going to say things like, well, we're open to trade this pick, and we're open to do this, and we're really strongly looking at this guy. We've all watched football. We've all watched the NFL draft. Everyone turns into a liar around the draft. The same thing is happening in basketball. Everyone's turning into a liar around what they want to do and who they want to take. Same exact thing. So, but the Suns do have a pick, which I'm more interested in, the 16, where they really need a point guard. The kid from Kentucky, is a point guard. I'm hoping that he'll be there. If not, Holiday from UCLA looked really good at the Suns pre-draft workouts, and he might be someone that's on the table as well for them to take. So I just wanted to get that out before we clocked out.
Okay.
He just signed a point guard? Like, unless it's a point guard that could shoot, I don't think that's worth taking your top pick with.
No.
Big
no,
guys
I agree
don't really
you.
Do that much anymore. That's a problem with Aiden. Like, he's a really big guy, but he's also not lead your franchise guy unless he has the same skills as Anthony Davis.
Yeah, DeAndre is the most talented big man to come out in a little while. And, I mean, obviously, Carl Anthony Towns 2-3 years ago, Cousins, you know, years before that. But he's in that line of can't-miss talent. And I just don't think you pass on that, especially when you have your shooting guard of the franchise and Devin Booker. Josh Jackson is obviously your three going forward. You need a big man. You need a point guard. You want someone that can play a better at power forward. Well, the big man is presenting himself, and at 16, you can go out and get Aaron Holiday. Now, the question is, and one of the things I'm going to write about shortly before this week is over, the Suns have a plethora then of backup guards. They have to decide what they want to do with Payton. They have to decide what they're going to do with the other two guards that basically run a point guard on that team. So I think that's where the decisions come into play. But Tony, talk about where – or first off, let's go in reverse order. Lou, talk about what's going on with you before we clock out here.
Okay, well, of course, we have now the Golden Knights Vegas Game 5 is going to be on Thursday, so don't look for it tomorrow. And, of course, Game 4 of the Golden State Warriors and Cavaliers is tomorrow. And if you're a Yankee fan, well – kind of good news, bad news. Yesterday they split the doubleheader, but Aaron Judge, oh boy, did he have an off night. Struck out 8 times in both games combined, 5 alone in game 2. Ugh, awful.
Yep, he had the platinum sombrero. Tony, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
They can follow me at Tony Capobianco on Twitter and Instagram. They can check out the Sports Cave for our weekly sports page. And soon we're going to have a new Marlins podcast for the summer called Sobe Sushi.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. And, of course, you can get us at The Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page, at The Sports Cave, where Cave is always, always, always with a K. As Tony said, sportscave.com. Make sure you're keeping up. We have a ton of content up. Marlins stuff, NBA draft stuff, the stuff that went on with the Eagles today. We'll have more NBA stuff, more baseball stuff, just a ton of stuff going up all the time, so make sure you check that out. That's the sportscave.com, where Cave is always with the K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. If you are just looking for sporting stuff and you follow me on Twitter, then you don't want to follow me, because I am all over the place with whatever goes through my mind, whenever it goes through my mind. So, hey, all calls made and accepted. We're on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Lou, thanks for hopping on as usual. Tony, talk to you tomorrow, my man. Appreciate you. Until then, this has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a great rest of your Tuesday.